everyone, we are back. It's time for another episode of the Better Beer Show. I'm your host, Nate Island. With me as always, Sean Dunn.
Hello. Episode 13, I've taken the liberty of setting up a mirror close to us. Couldn't find any black cats that were willing to come in. They said, get a few more listeners and maybe check back with us later. But episode 13, I'm hoping, you know, despite the kind of negative rapport it has as a number, won't affect us too much on today's episode.
This is our good luck show. This is our good luck show. Welcome back, everybody, to the show that's a little about beer and a lot about nothing. And this week we are going to blow the roof off, I think. I know you have a friend who I'm excited to talk to in this episode. And we got a lot of cool stuff going on right now, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we've got, you know, a friend Byron calling in later to do play the game Find the Imposter. We've got plenty of stories, I'm thinking, from Nate as far as just coming back from the honeymoon.
Yeah, that happened.
This
week
in Mexico, am, fully married. Sorry, ladies,
well
off the table.
And fully married, yeah. Yeah. You know what I got to say? I don't know what everybody's complaining about. Married life is fantastic. Oh, you just like sit on a beach and drink beer and fish all the time.
Go fishing with her dad.
Yeah, swim up bars and just, I don't know. It's bitching so far.
When you came over, you forgot to bring pre-show beers this week, and I had a couple Coronas, and you're thinking, shit, let's fall back right into
the
same vein I've been in for the last 8 days or six
I will say I had never had – I've drank a lot of Pacifico. I went to Baja for, you know, basically Cabo-ish, a little bit north of that, and they have Pacifico Light, which I've never really seen around here. Yeah, exactly. It's you can sell it in South Dakota. It's 3% in alcohol, and you can just pound them all day long. So,
cool.
It might even in terms of drinkability, you might have one up on your Bud Light there. I don't know.
We'll get into that later when you hear the fucking horses trot, and you'll know that it's time to talk about that.
I didn't want to smuggle any in for you, so I'll have to find some.
I've never seen that because, you know what, I think I would have purchased that in the past if I had known it was an option. Because I like Pacifico. It's good.
Yeah, it's not a bad beer. I was drinking it all week, so it's good. It's good. It's nice.
So cool. So your wedding was great. I will say Nate practices what he preaches. Everybody at the ceremony had a beer in hand. We were talking about it before the podcast. Like, I was watching Nate try to stifle tears as I downed a Coors Light.
I was lucky. I got to have my back to my dad, who was crying.
Who's the real crier in the family?
Yeah, and I'm looking across at the ladies, and the ladies are looking across at my dad. And they're about to choke up because he's all choked up, and I'm over there going, oh, God, here it goes, you know?
Well, I happen to know one of the bridesmaids, my wife's and your wife's best friend, is known to be a crier.
Yeah.
And so I think we were kind of gauging, like, okay, she's going to be first to go. And then, you know, and she was.
Yeah.
And then you had mentioned that about your dad, but it worked out perfectly. Yeah. I think, you know,
he gets to the guys get to hide it with their sunglasses, so it works out fantastic.
I will say, at my wedding, like, I was kind of going through the same thing you're going through. Like, that's a touching moment. Like, you know, you may want to get emotional a little bit because my wife started crying, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, think about baseball. You know, at a certain point, I see my old man sitting in the audience, fucking red as shit, crying. I'm like, you're supposed to be the rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I knew exactly what you're getting into going into this, and it is tough.
Yeah, my lady held it together. She held her shit, and I'm glad she did because I probably would have lost it if she did. So
on to more manly things.
Yeah. So now that we're done talking about crying, let's get to the beer. Huh? Hey, and happy 4th of July to everybody.
I wish I would have played There's a Tear in My Beer right when you said that.
Happy belated 4th of July, I guess I should say, because it's like the 7th or something like that. But
so your 4th of July was probably pretty much spent traveling then, right?
All morning, but we were in time for a fireworks show.
Oh, okay,
cool. We were back in time. We got to drink some beer and some wine on the porch and watch some shit explode, and just like real Americans do.
Well, I got a little tear in my beer that's semi 4th of July rated, but I'm going to stop myself. Every week I do this. I get raring to go. I'm like a racehorse behind a gate. I'm like, once we press go, I want to just talk, and we forget to open those beers.
Okay.
So let's do that right away.
Good call. Let's open them up. All right. So, you know what? I'm going to do things a little bit different this week. Mm-hmm. I know you probably already, I know you've been eagle-eyeing the glasses going, what the fuck, why are there
I think there's more than two.
There's
only
two people, you know. So I was kind of thinking we would there's a new segment I want to do, and it's Battle of the Brews.
Okay.
And so what I'm thinking is we're still going to koozie approve the beers,
mm-hmm.
but I think we need to pick two of them and battle them, like, side by side, drink them both, decide, hey, rather than buying two of the same beers and drinking both the same beers, mm-hmm. it's like, well, maybe we can, you know, piss a couple people off and be like, this beer is better than this beer, and get people being like, I don't know about that. Yeah. You know, I don't know. So
are these beers the same style of beer?
I'm thinking we keep them the same style.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Or either, I mean, I guess we could have like a, this beer won this week and bring another one on to try to dethrone it. But I was thinking keep two of the same category.
Okay.
And, or flavor style, whatever. And then, and give a rating. Mm-hmm. Have people disagree with it because they're going to.
Well, you realize that at a certain point we're going to run out of beers, which means we're going to run out of podcasts.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I mean,
now you're doubling up. That screws up our longevity by that much percent.
If we run out of beers and we have to stop podcasting because of it, we will have like I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of episodes.
We'll be like, welcome to the Sean and Nate's Dutch Oven Cookout Hour, which I mean. Yeah. I've been trying to work Dutch ovens into this somehow. It's just not working. You can't really pack a Dutch oven with ice and put beer in it. That's just not really socially acceptable. But we did make the decision against my wife's will, to get you guys a Dutch oven for your wedding.
I love it.
And I was thinking, I was telling you this the other night, when you get married, you predominantly get gifts that your wife picks out, which are like salad tongs, which you're like, well, I usually just use my hands, you know, or like China when it's like, this looks strikingly similar to the stuff they have the 99 cent store. But, you know, my father-in-law got me a road trip, like propane grill. And it was like, he kind of made it a point, like with a little wink in his eye, like Santa Claus, like, this one's for you, bud. And I thought, you know what? Like, you're going to be surrounded by doilies and fucking like, you know, tablecloths and shit that, you know, I'm just thinking this man needs a piece of cast iron.
And I'm so glad you did, you know, and I'm very fortunate. Me and my lady like to cook together too. So she's excited about it. That's also cool. You know, so it was a great gift. It was a great gift. I'm excited to have it.
Oh, you're going to love it. And eventually when we run out of beers, we're going to get going on this Dutch Oven podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do it. Hey, the time has come, my friend. Episode 13. Okay. I know you've been waiting for the day.
I caught a little.
I brought in the IPAs.
I just saw what you've been
waiting. I know you're waiting for the IPAs. Uh-huh. So here they are. Okay. We talk about IPAs. We talked about this in the past, and Stone IPA is kind of who put IPAs on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it comes to craft beer, they were kind of like the front runners. I know there's other people out there and what have you, but Stone really took the bull by the horns and turned craft beer into a whole nother revolution. And they have their, you know, signature Stone IPA with the gargoyle on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good IPA. It's not, you know, they're out of Northern California San Diego, excuse me. They're out of San Diego. And it's a good IPA. It's arguably it kind of has a bad name now with IPAs,
mm-hmm.
when in terms of like just because it's kind of like when a band gets famous, you know, band gets famous and everybody goes, ah,
sold out.
They sold out, you know, whatever. But and I'm not sure that these guys ever sold out in terms of beer, but they definitely. You know, people are out there doing bigger and badder things, and so are they. They have IPAs that are way over the top of this.
Yeah.
But this is their standard regular IPA, Stone IPA. So we're gonna do that one.
Okay.
And we're gonna put it up against one of our local breweries here.
I saw when you took it out. I've been wanting to get that one for a taste test.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Just because of the nose art. I mean, I got almost that same girl tattooed on my right arm.
Right. Yeah. the pinup. She's fucking cool. So, you know, Hanger 24, their orange wheat rated really high. We koozie approved it really high. So I thought we would put it up against the Hanger 24's Betty IPA. And that one's real bitching too. Like you said, it's got one of the big old bombers on the front of it with.
Let me see what it is.
With Betty, and here you can.
You know what? Yeah, this looks very much like
Pour the Stone.
This brings me to something that I don't know how people feel about, but I've got my Audible account. Have I told you about that?
No, I don't think so.
You get free audio. Well, it's not free. You pay a membership fee, and you get Audible. You get audio books every month.
Oh, okay.
And so I like to tell my wife that I've read books, and she likes to make sure that I know that I didn't actually read them. I listened to them. So I've been having this conversation with like with her mom and her, and we kind of been going back and forth about it. But I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken, this is a B-24 Liberator.
Okay.
It looks very much like it. I could be wrong, but I just read Arsenal of Democracy. You notice I said read.
Okay.
With no shame in the tone of my voice, I said I read Arsenal of Democracy, all about how the Ford Motor Company retooled during World War II to make these heavy bombers. And I like to think this is a B-24 Liberator. I'm gonna factor that in as I taste test.
We're going to say that it is. Whether it is or not, we're going to say that it is.
You know what sucks, though?
I will say... Oh, go ahead.
I'm just going to say the guys at Hangar 24, because they're all, like, into aviation, they know what fucking plane that is, and it's probably not what I'm thinking. Yeah. But
I would love if somebody from Hangar 24 listens to this
Check
podcast
me on that.
And comments on the comment section and says, hey, that plane's actually yada, yada, yada. And, that would be awesome.
Well, as far as we know, it works to my advantage about my reading versus listening thing on Audible.com.
All right, so
Audible also sponsorship. I mean, advertising space available. I'm a hardcore user. I'm not going to say whether I like it or love it or hate it yet till you like send us an email.
But if you want to send us an email and sponsor an episode, we would gladly have you.
Just knowing Stone's reputation and their IPA's reputation, like holding a glass of this magnitude that you just poured is a little scary on a work night.
You know, this is. I love the smell of Stone IPA, and it's one of the things I love about the Hammer of Thor from Rock, down the street. Also, is that it's I don't know if they're using an Amarillo or if they're using a Citra hop or what it is, but it's that grapefruitish, like it's that hop has a very distinct smell. I want to say it's Citra, and it just smells fantastic. I don't know. I really do like the smell of Stone IPA.
Smelling it ain't going to do shit for you. Let's take a sip of this beer. All
right.
Have you ever in, like eaten sunflower seeds and got that one weird one that's rancid?
Are you saying that's what the beer tastes like?
No, I'm just saying it's got that same sort of shock because, like, I've been drinking a couple Bud Lights before the show just to make sure that it technically is a drinking show.
Yeah.
Which we've promised to our audience.
Yeah, that's and right. Every show is a drinking
now
show.
Now I have a sip of this and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Well, I am a fan of IPAs. I do like IPAs. I know they're kind of your kryptonite, so we won't take your opinion too harshly.
Uh-uh.
But it is what it is, you know. It's part of the show. It's what we do.
No,
everybody's
it's
got
good.
Their own opinion. And the color is really kind of bitching. It's like an amber color. It's got a nice head on it, wonderful smell, and I like the flavor. I'm a fan of Stone IPA, I have to say.
It's good.
So the Betty over here is a you know what since we're doing the Betty, I'm gonna plug someone right from my work. I have a coworker named Betty, and I call her Boozin' Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And she is actually a diehard.
Sounds like
listener.
A country song.
Yeah, she's a diehard. Actually, Betty and the Jets is what I sing to her at work. I'm always like Betty, But she's actually a diehard listener of the show.
Oh, cool.
I'm trying to get her to leave a comment, and I don't know why she won't, but
she's I'm
going to bring I'll read your comment on the air. I keep on letting her know. She always comes in and laughs at your jokes and shit. She just loves it, man. She
cool.
loves the show. And since the beer this week is called Betty,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and talk about Boozin' Betty.
All right.
And hope that this is her episode. So, 13, Betty, leave a comment, all right? Leave a comment.
Win that gift card to the Better place you already work at.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably not eligible to win that gift card. That's episode 12 anyway, so.
Yeah.
All right, so the Betty is, you know what, did we, what's the alcohol by volume on the stone? I don't know. I didn't even look. And 6.9.
Oh, that's not too bad. 6.9. I've had a couple friends, like I had one friend in particular who really loves Stone, you know, Stone's beers, and his girlfriend bought him a tour of the brewery for his birthday, and it's, I've heard it's really cool. I've never been, but I heard it's a really good experience to go down there and try all the beers and, you know, see the scenery. And
yeah,
they have a pretty awesome. Big brewery.
Yeah, it is fairly large. I would like to get down there and do it sometime. I think they do cask beers. I think they're usually on Friday nights, so I don't always work Friday nights. But yeah, I'd like to get down there and try some of their cask beers, and they make good beers over there. So this is the Hangar 24 Betty IPA, and let's pour you a glass, huh?
I'm excited to try this because I've seen it so many times, and I'm like, look at that. Great artwork and whatever, and it's Hangar 24, which we've highly rated in the past, and I keep seeing those little three letters that strike fear in any working man's heart.
This one has IPA. A nice thick head on it. I don't want to let that settle for a moment. Could be operator error. Might be my poor job.
Well, I know some friends of yours were bartending at the wedding, and they were coming up with all kinds of stuff to make with the ingredients that we had there.
Oh yeah,
like one of the bartenders, one of the ladies there was like, kind of, you know, what do you like? And we kind of gave her a list of what would be acceptable. She started making weird shit up and calling it different names. And by the end of the night, me and your dad and my wife and a bunch of other people were just like slamming anything they could come up with. You know?
She can get creative.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
That's actually the lady I work with on Friday nights. Usually. She's a good lady. We've been having a good time for years. So, yeah. What are you thinking on this one? Are you thinking on this Betty here? See, now this one has a little bit different smell.
Way different.
Yeah, I almost want to say that that's like. I almost want to say that that's like that mosaic smell. I don't know if that's what that is or not. Mm-hmm. It might be something else, but. But it's a little bit. I don't even know how to explain that.
It's kind of skunky.
Yeah.
It smells a little bit like cut grass.
Oh, yeah.
This reminds me one time when I was a kid. I never actually got it confirmed, but I had some sort of bleeding ulcer. And I was like 20-something, you know? And I remember I called my dad, and I'm like, what am I going to do? What should I do? And he's like, I'll be right over, boy. Comes over, brings his Mr. Juice Man. Yeah. And two heads of cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
And made me drink the whole fucking thing. Oh. And it healed me right up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but wow. This smells a lot like that.
this is actually, I'm glad we did this, because these are two completely different IPAs.
Way different.
They are absolutely different.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to determine which one I like better.
This one's almost like in a bag of rancid sunflower seeds. This would be the one you would eat. That's like, what the fuck was that?
That is such a horrible way.
If the whole bag was rancid,
Hangar 24 is going to hate us. They're going to be like, these assholes.
Okay, but you're looking at it in a way that's like, okay, negative. But really, I'm just saying, level of shock and awe like is high with this one, where you're just like,
yeah.
Should I drink it? I don't know. Maybe it's got botulism. We'll find out. I don't know. I mean, were we supposed to drink it? I don't know.
It doesn't taste anything like botulism. Not that I know what botulism tastes like. But yeah, it definitely has a distinct smell also, and a very different flavor. Both very hoppy. Both good IPAs. I mean, I think. But.
Well, let's sip on these a little bit and bring ourselves a little bit of relief by thinking about reasons to drink Bud Light.
Oh, wow.
I can't think of a more apropos time than now. After I've just infused my mouth with two different types of IPAs.
Okay.
Talk about drinking Bud Light. So I have a thing. I found an article online that was talking about, you know, what does your beer say about you? Mm-hmm. So Bud Light, here's what they say. Bud Light, the frat boy is the way they describe it.
Okay.
When you think of Bud Light, does a frat boy playing drinking games in his Vineyard Vines polo come to mind? If your answer is yes, you're probably familiar with the personality I'm about to describe. Bud Light drinkers tend to be outgoing, easy to get along with, making for a great personality in a social setting. Okay, check. But be forewarned, they're also prone to taking unnecessary risks. Like, if I wanted to be risky, would I be drinking light beer? I don't think so. So if you spend too much time with them, you may find yourself crossing the lines of socially acceptable behavior. Now let's play a game. Which came first, the Bud Light or the frag? I don't know. Stupid article. But I found that a little stupid. here's a little fun fact that I learned about Bud Light. Light beer is actually really hard to brew. And I was reading an article about this. And we've talked about this before, too, how people like Anheuser-Busch or Miller can brew in, like, you know, hundreds of different locations the same exact tasting beer.
Okay.
And a lot of people will talk about how, you know, it's just watered down or this and that. But this article I read said it's really hard in a light beer setting to mask anything strange that happens during the brew process, where a stronger beer, you know, the flavors are kind of overpowering.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. But with a light beer, it's got to be perfect every time. So, I mean, if you like excellence, maybe Bud Light's the way to go. Number three reason to drink Bud Light. I was looking up. I just typed in celebrities that drink Bud Light.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And Barack Obama came up. So I guess when he... You remember when he, like, solved that dispute with those two guys? I forget what happened, but they all got together at the White House to drink a beer.
Yeah.
Bud Light was the beer.
Oh, really?
So
I know Barack Obama is a supporter of brewing beer.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, of homebrew. And, yeah. So if he's a Bud Light drinker, then touche. Well done.
So we got a few things to get into today. We got...
Drink Bud Light. You could be the president of the United States.
Exactly. Work for him. Yeah, that's our secondary. It's kind of like...
Yeah, this week's episode sponsored by the one and two king of beers, Bud Light.
Yeah, we're that's secretly being funded that's by them. All right, so we got to find the imposter, and we've got a couple other things to get into.
Yeah, should we do the find the imposter?
Let's do it right now. We can go to the phones. I know Byron's waiting to get on here.
Yeah, we might as well.
Let's go to the phones.
All right.
Hey, Byron, how you doing?
What's going on?
Welcome to the
Sean Dunn.
I'm doing great. Welcome to the Better Beer Club podcast.
Nice.
Hey, for listeners,
are we live on the show?
We're live right now, man.
We are live. How you doing, Byron? I'm Nate.
Hey, Nate. How you doing, man?
I'm well, thank you, sir.
Me and Byron had a podcast in the past that was called Earfuls, and we had a really good time. So, Nate's my fake Byron.
I'm sure you're nice. 1,000 times better at this than I am. I'm a rookie. I'm just here to talk nonsense, really.
No, I'm enjoying the podcast. I got to listen to some episodes and good stuff.
Well, yeah, when we got our podcast, me and Byron's, was a little more music-based, but we still had a good time, and we're having a good time here, too. So I thought it'd be cool to bring Byron on to play a little Find the Imposter, because being a music master that Byron is, he's also quite the drinker. Am I right?
Well, I do enjoy some beer and some beverages once in a while.
I know
beer came up on our other show a few times. I do have some opinions.
I was telling Byron this. I talked to him earlier this week, and we were saying when we were doing our podcast, we would look at our metrics and think, you know, we got this many listeners and stuff, and okay, maybe it's not that impressive, but we'd always say, well, at least we're better than all those podcasts out there where all they do is drink beer and talk about it.
Now here we are. Here we are.
So anyways, we've got a little game that we play. It's called Find the Imposter, where we come up with a fake beer name and we surround it with a couple real beer names. And if you can find or pick out the actual fake beer name that we've come up with, you get a koozie.
Nice. I thought I'd get an Island's $25 gift card.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? You can, in fact. That is episode 12, and all you have to do is leave a comment on the website under episode 12, and you can win that gift card. We're going to pick the best comment to win.
Nice.
And are you interested in a beer kit? Because we can give you a beer kit, too, if you have a drunk story to give.
Awesome. Well, let's start with the koozie. I'll see if I can earn my way up.
I would prompt you, though, to go on there and leave that comment because we've got no comments.
Yeah, you know what? You could be the winner of a gift card solely by one commenting.
You got it. Well, and that's at betterbeerclub.com.
Yeah, it's thebetterbeerclub.com.
You got it.
All right, let's get into this game.
I got a hard out in like 5 minutes.
Okay, let's do it. I think we can get this done.
I do want to say, though, before we do this.
Let's get you that koozie.
I have a little bit of an advantage because I do deal with some grocery store business. I am familiar with some beer, so
what
if you guys can give me.
What grocery store business do you deal with? What do you mean by that? What does that mean?
I'm right here in the heartland.
Okay.
The heartland of America. Look out for those tan trucks, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
You know, look out for the tan trucks. Matching apron.
I'm not sure if very many of these are going to be there, but we'll give it a go. Are you ready?
All right, let's do this.
Are you ready for round one? Do we have a?
I'm ready.
Do we have an intro song or anything for this?
No, we're
rock
going straight
it
into it.
All right, cool. I want to make sure I didn't do it. Okay, so the first beer is called Doppel Dinkelbach. The second beer is Lumberjack Crack, and the third beer is Looser.
So it's Doppel Dingleberry Crack. What was the first one?
Doppel Dinkelbach, Lumberjack Crack, or Looser.
This is tough because I just saw a label the other day called the Belching Beaver.
Yeah, the Belching Beaver is actually the brewery, and they make some really good beers. Their peanut butter stout is good.
Lumberjack Crack is a real beer because of the Belching Beaver label. So I'm going to have to say Lumberjack Crack is a real one, so that's not my imposter. And
so
what's the third one again?
So that's Looser or Doppel Dinkelbach.
Spell that first one. What's it spell? L-O-S-E-R? Looser?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I've heard the Doppelbox or whatever that is. I'm going to go with Looser. I'm going to go with Looser to be the winner.
All right. Well, you are going to be the loser because because the imposter is the Lumberjack Crack. That is just some man's butthole or something. I don't know.
I expected a lot more out of a professional podcaster, Byron. Come on, man. You know how to play these weird games.
I think you're going to get this next one. All
right.
Are you ready for round two?
I'm ready.
Okay. This one is sort of a little bit leaning towards music. Catered towards music. Okay. So the first one is Back in Black. The second one is Going to California. And the third one is Brew Free or Die.
I'm going to go with Back in Black. Sounds like a great beer name. So that one's got to be real. And Brewed Free, was that the third one? That sounds awesome. I'm going with the second one, Going to California.
Yes, Going to California is a very awesome song by Led Zeppelin.
But not a real beer.
Not a real beer.
Yes. Okay, nice. Ding, 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 ding. You're getting a koozie already.
Yeah, you already have a koozie.
So,
feels good.
What happens if he gets the other one right? We should up the ante.
Okay. Two koozies.
Two koozies. Two koozies.
I want his and hers koozies.
Byron's wife, Laura, I know, enjoys a beer from time to time. So let's get
there
them both koozied up here.
Yeah, if you get, you already got one wrong, so we'll go that. But from here on out, whoever gets, you get one per right answer. Since this game's so damn hard. All right. And the last round is 1776. Stinky Dinky or Sinful Sensation?
What's the second one again?
Stinky Dinky.
Icky Picky? What was it?
Stinky Dinky.
Oh, okay. I think you threw a curveball at me on this one. There's so many numbers, beers, like 805 and... I'm gonna go with your first one, the 1776. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what it is. Is that an imposter?
That is my final answer for the imposter.
Final answer, and we're gonna send you one beer koozie. 1776 is a real beer, my friend.
Byron, you'd be surprised how many people have failed miserably at this game. But I mean, I hate to say it now that you're a winner, but we have had to give away Mercy koozies.
Yeah, yeah. Stinky, nice. Stinky Dinky is a real beer. Is Sinful Sensation is the imposter.
Oh man, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Like a koozie then?
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely going to send you a koozie. And you know what? Just for being such a good sport, we'll probably, if you promise to leave that comment to try to win the Islands gift card, I'll send you two koozies. And if you leave the best comment, then we'll see if you get the gift card.
It's on. I'm definitely going there right now.
All right. Well, thanks, Byron.
BeerClub.com. I'm going to check it out.
I know you got a lot going on. You got to get off, but I just want the listeners to know if people want to check out Byron. We had a long-standing podcast. We have 30 episodes up on iTunes. Go to Earfuls on iTunes, and you can check out Byron's masterminded podcast idea that we did about music-based, which is a lot of fun. And Byron's also a great singer-songwriter. Check out the Southerners webpage for some of his original music. And we're privileged to have you on the podcast today, Byron. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, anytime you want to come back and plug anything, just hit us up.
You got it. Thanks, guys. I look forward to the next show.
All right. See you soon.
All right. Bye. Bye.
All right. Well, that was cool.
Yeah. That was exciting. I'm really glad to have talked to him. I'm glad you guys had a few. You know, you've done this in the past, and so it's kind of cool to get someone on there who's also been a part of a cast before.
Yeah, he's really good. And like I said, if you want to hear more Byron, go check out the Earfuls on iTunes, and we had a good time doing that. So
yeah, we'll have those websites or those links posted on the website at this where the comment section is, the links like normal. And yeah, so anyway, so I kind of, did you hear about the guy that killed himself
launching a firework off his head?
Yeah,
yeah. I heard yeah. The concussion from it like cracked his skull.
Oh man. That was actually one thing that I kind of was thinking fits into the Darwin Award situation. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that he will be a candidate for the Darwin Award. I was going to bring a couple of those this week, but I thought, you know, that one will be
good. I was
good
thinking
enough
about that, too, because death is so serious, and it's like, that's the end of your fucking life. Like, you know, you can't take it back. You can't redo it. Yeah. And it's like, I was thinking about his parents. Like, can you imagine having to give his eulogy? It's like, he just, like, straight up fucked up. That's all you can say about his death. Like, he just
thought he would launch an explosive off of his forehead.
I mean, it's just sad. Like, to be claimed by cancer or stricken with, you know, like,
yeah, something that's like, well, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, you've got no control over it.
Yeah.
But to know that you went out because you put a firework on your head, like, that's tough on your family. Right. So, like,
or strapped yourself to the bottom of a truck.
We're very, like, we promote drinking in large quantities and having a good time. But please. Yeah. Be responsible.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean there's a difference between drunk and fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And that's just borderline fucking stupid, you know? I mean, and it seems a bit beyond beer courage. Mm-hmm. You know,
maybe it's a little mental component to that or something.
I don't know, but then you've seen like Jackass and stuff where they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna send a bottle rocket out of my asshole." Yeah. And it's like, first thing I'm gonna do is clench, and then singe the shit out of my ass. No part of that sounds fun, you know.
I just, I don't know. I kind of pride myself in just even when I've been drinking, like, you know, at your wedding, for instance, like. There's no way I'm going to go, like, I'll get up on the stage and start dancing and rip my shirt off. Like, I'm just not the type of guy. You know what I mean? I'd rather just say, well, I think I'll go home and have some mac and cheese and call it a night. I like to think I stay relatively sane. But some people, like, I've got a few buddies, like Rusty Shackelford. Like,
yeah, we got to get a hold of Rusty.
Yeah, we're going to have to call him back for some more stories. Because he's got stories way crazier than that firework thing.
Hey, he can win a beer kit, you know? Rusty is not a paid employee of the beer show. Of the Better Beer Show, so he qualifies to win the beer brewing kit, I would say. Yeah. In fact, speaking of which, we're giving away a beer kit. Anybody wants a Brooklyn?
Literally anybody that wants it can have it.
Seriously though, we're giving away a beer kit. This shit is free. All you got to do is get on thebetterbeerclub.com. And leave your drunk stories. And on that note, I have a drunk story to give you guys an idea of what we're talking about. You know? So, no, not this drunk story. That's for the Battle of the Beers, I think.
Okay. Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's use it
so
anyways.
Later when we battle the beers.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll cut that out, maybe. No, we'll just leave it in.
Yeah.
If you don't like Rocky IV, fuck you.
Wait, was that Rocky?
Yeah, it's Rocky IV.
Oh, no,
IV,
sorry,
man.
The Tiger, though. Yeah, it's the same thing. Anyway, all right, so I got a beer story. So, my last beer story, I'm going to tell another out of the country beer story. We're in Costa Rica on the last one.
You got Panama coming up.
Yeah, so somewhere along the line, we took a, I don't even know how many hour trip to Panama. All fucking day. We woke up at sunup, got on a fucking bus, drove all damn day to get to where we were going. From bus drop to, we were sleeping at the bus stop, like all kinds of bullshit. Get to this location in Panama. Finally find the hostel that we're going to stay at. And we get in the hotel. The hostel's up on like the ninth floor of this tower in Panama City. Mm-hmm. And we get in the elevator. There's like six of us and these three just smoking hot German girls get in the elevator and are like giggling and acting all weird, and we're all fucking shitty looking and traveled out. Like, mm-hmm. All I want to do is go to bed. And they're like, oh, we're going down to the bar. It's $10, all you can drink. You should go.
And we'll explain this whole World War II situation to you.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, I'm not tired anymore. Let's go to the bar. So we do. And we go.
3 days, ladies and gentlemen, since he's been married.
This is an old story. So anyway, we get ready and we get back and we go to the bar. And sure enough, it's cover charge, $10, all you can drink. Mm-hmm. You get inside. But the thing is, once you get inside, they're like, oh, you know what? You can't have beer. You have to have hard alcohol.
Uh-oh.
And so it's like, okay, cool. Well, let us get like a rum and Coke or whatever. And the rum down there, you can get rum, but they're pouring like this guava shit and it's horrible. And so we're like, rum and Coke, cool. So after like about three or four rum and Cokes, we're going, why are we wasting our time with the Coke? Like, this is mm-hmm. too much Coke. We just need the rum. Like, just give us rum, you know? Yeah. So they're just fucking giving us rums. I mean, we probably had to go through like 12, 14, 15 rums, you know? Mm-hmm. On the last trip to the bar, I go up to the bar, I'm like, another round of rums for my friends. And the guy takes like a solo cup and he fills it up halfway. It's fucking rum, just like a lot of rum. And he hands them all to me and he basically says, all right, we're closing soon, don't come back.
Yeah.
This is your last one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, fucking A. So we're drinking it, we're doing our thing. I turn around and by the way, I don't know where the fuck those German girls went. We never saw them again. I think they were just promoting. I think they were just promoting the bar.
Why were
really
German
know.
Girls in Panama? Number one.
Oh, you'd be amazed how many people
you
travel.
Know what? All those
Canadians
Nazis went to
too.
Argentina.
Canadians too. Oh, really? Yeah.
Maybe they were visiting family down there.
They probably were trying to see the canal. I don't know. So anyway, we're drinking like crazy. I turn around. I'm leaning on the bar. My buddy's next to me. And I remember thinking to myself as I finished the last of the rum, I can't fucking see anymore. Like, I'm looking out at the dance floor, and I can only see, like, maybe 2 feet in front of my face. Uh-huh. And everything out after that is just a fucking blur.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn, we got to go. So I look at my buddy, I say, we got to go. Okay, we got to go. So we start to stumble our way out of the bar. Well, you had to walk up, like, a 20 flight of stairs to get to this damn place. Mm-hmm. So I exit the bar, I look down, and my buddy tells me that I said, uh-oh, and I reached for the handrail and missed the handrail.
Oh, no.
And just dove down these fucking stairs, like, uh-huh. Head first, didn't even take one step, just tumbled down the whole fucking flight.
Oh no.
I got to the bottom. I'm looking up at the bouncer. They're all going like, oh shit, you know.
Uh-huh.
The bottom. And there's a and they're all running downstairs, come get me and drag my ass back to the hostel. And it was just a crazy ass night. But,
oh, man.
But that's my drunk story, you know. Diving down a flight of stairs, you know.
You win the gift card.
Yay. So we're giving away a Brooklyn Brew Shop beer kit. If anybody wants it, get on the website, tell us your beer stories.
Or that's a pretty good one. Missing your footing on stairs always qualifies. I think it puts you in the top at least 10% in the running for us.
So anyway.
All right, cool. So
don't do that.
I got a little things that make you need a beer. There's a tear in my beer, 'cause I'm crying for you, dear. So while you were basking in the subtropical sunshine of Mexico, dodging federales and drug cartel members, I was up in Big Bear camping for 4th of July.
Right on.
So things that make me need a beer this week, camping in the mountains.
Oh, okay.
Let that stew for a minute. Think of all the things that could go wrong.
I usually like to drink beer while I'm camping in the mountains.
Yep, due to high altitude?
Why, do you ever go camping and not drink beer?
No. But by the time I got to the campsite, I needed a beer. Yeah. So I'm sure we've mentioned recently that me and my wife bought an old 50-year-old trailer. And we got it fixed up, ready to go. Things lightweight trailer, supposed to be fine tone with my truck. Well, I get onto this mountain, I'm in second gear, and it's just screaming, like, trying to get this thing up the hill, you know? So as I go, I pass these, you know, they'll be passing lanes. I'll get over, let all the traffic go. Every one of them's pissed, you know, they had to wait behind me. And there's these little turnouts that come up, but every single turnout is on a 10% grade where it's like, right. If I pull over, there's no way I can get going again, you know, because right. I'm barely making it with what I got under the hood here.
Yeah.
So one particular instance, I passed a few turnouts thinking, well, I just got to keep going because I've got momentum here, you know.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I see this biker from like 6 cars back just swing out into oncoming traffic.
Oh,
you know,
shit.
Flying up beside me. And there's a car coming his way, too. And so I kind of get over because I'm thinking, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah,
you know?
Not trying to kill anybody.
No. So I'm thinking, you know, so I get over. He gets in front of me and just gives me the big fuck you, you know. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I've gotten over like several times. I've always stayed to the right in the passing lanes. And this guy gives me the flip off that hurts your knuckles to do this one.
Yeah.
The one that only like your dad does. Like everybody else does this.
Yeah.
Right? I'm talking like straight knuckle where it hurts it to do it. And he's riding a motorcycle with one hand. Give me one of those fucking straight knuckle fucking. And I'm just looking at it. And my wife's like, he just flipped you off. And I'm like, well, I can't fucking catch him. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Like, you know,
saw that, sweetie. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, well, okay. Not only am I like, I've gotten this guy really pissed off. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
My wife's saying he flipped you off. Kind of, what are you going to do about it? And I'm thinking, well, there's a reason he passed me, because there's no fucking way in hell I can catch him, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, camping in the mountains.
That raises an interesting question for me, because I'm a man that God built like a woman. So so the whole like, hey, that guy flipped you off, what are you going to do about it? Kind of idea of life has never really worked in my relationships, you know? Like, if you're dating me, it's not because I'm going to be the guy who's, like, tough and be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to beat the shit out of you then, you know? If some guy's flipping me off, I'm going, that's a pretty finger, sir.
And I'm kind of amazed at the dexterity of your knuckles right now with that old 70s flip-off that you just did.
Yeah.
Like, turn on the fucking fog hat and paint the fridge fucking avocado green, because I haven't seen that flip-off since.
Well, that was impressive. Did you see that, sweetie?
In my wife's defense, she's never been that type of person. Like, you know, I mean, I'm a bigger guy, and you know, I don't tend to get into too much trouble, but every once in a while, like, I'll get a little irked, you know, and the road rage thing. I'm not really that into it, but, you know. So she got more pissed off than I did, and she was flipping him off as we go around we were going around the bend. She's flipping him off, and I'm thinking, you're kind of making a bed for me if this fucker waits for me up the hill. It's like, well, I'm fine with it, because, I mean, he didn't. It wasn't like – there's a couple different types of bikers. There's ones like this dude.
Sir, it was her.
I mean, this dude had a reflective, like, construction dude's vest on, and I'm like, I'm not that concerned. Like, guys you got to be worried about are, like, the dude with no shirt on, covered in tattoos, you know?
Wearing the leather vest.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't overall that concerned, and I really wasn't that offended, because I thought, well, he almost got killed by oncoming traffic. Yeah. In my defense, he should have never done what he did. Like, I mean, honestly, if the highway patrol saw them do it, they'd be like, you just passed like seven cars on the wrong side of the road.
Right.
Like, it's your, you know, but, you know, he saw me as the, like, the center point of all his life's problems at that moment. And he just had to let me know.
Yeah. You know, it's a, you know, and we, you know, we do live in Southern California. That's one thing that we've pointed out on the show several times. And one thing that is ridiculous in Southern California is the amount of rush that everybody's in.
It's true.
They just
particularly
can't,
on the mountain. It's unbelievable.
On the mountain, on the freeway, like on everything, people can't just calm the fuck down and drive like a normal human being. My favorite thing to do on my way to work is look at the cars around you, and you drive and you watch the asshole that's weaving in and out of traffic, mm-hmm. slamming on his brakes, pulling around people, acting like a jerk off, and then 20 minutes later down the same road you're stopped at a red light
and, he's right
and this jerk off's next to you and you're going, and I just like to wave at him. I'm just like, remember me?
It's true. Like,
you know, you don't get anywhere any faster by acting like that.
I don't think people realize, like, mountain driving is like, there's no real reason to, like, do what he's doing. You know what I mean? I could see, if you want to go for a cruise, and I could see that. You want to get it. You got a bike, fine, go for it. But, like, even come down the hill, I'm following this dude in a big, like, Toyota Tundra, like, lifted and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, oh man, that would have been nice to have on the way up this mountain, you know? But this guy has his brakes on the whole time,
right? Because that's a big mass going down the hill, you know,
the whole time. And I'm
and
like,
he doesn't
dude
know how to
downshift
put it in low gear. Yeah.
Down, you know, the whole time. I mean, the way to go down a mountain, for people that don't know, Sammy, my brother, if you're listening,
drop it in low
don't
gear.
Ever ride your brakes the whole way down a hill.
Run the motor.
You'll glaze the brakes, like, and you won't be able to stop. So you just put it in low gear, coast down. Put it in second, you know, and
those RPMs are
gonna, pulse
are gonna,
your brakes
are going to pitch up a little bit higher.
Yeah,
you know, brake just before you go into the turn if you need to.
Yeah, so but, there's a way to go down a mountain. I'm following this dude literally like with a $35,000-$40,000 truck, just with the brake lights on for literally an hour.
Rotors are thinking, glowing by the bottom.
I'm just thinking, okay, not only you know do most. I feel like here's what happens, particularly in California. People don't want to be that guy that's like, look at that guy. He can't drive in the rain. So what does everybody do? They overcompensate. Well, I'm going to do 90 because I'm manly enough to know how to drive in the rain. Fuck you. Like, what you're supposed to do is drive cautiously and get yourself to point B and get out of your car. But these people are like, I don't want to be cautious and drive slowly and, you know, take my time making lane changes because then people assume that I'm one of those city slickers from California who doesn't know how to drive in the rain. Yeah. Same thing with the mountains. It's like, I'm a master mountain driver. You know what I mean? Like, I fly up the fucker. I fucking ride my brakes all down, all the way down the mountain. Like, it's like, it's this attempt to think I'm not one of those people that doesn't know how to drive. It's like, look, you do live in California. Like, when it rains, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, take some precautions, but people, you'll see those people like, doing 90 in the rain, and you're like, you have a complex where you think you need to prove to everybody that you can drive in the rain.
Right.
When in reality, what you're doing is really probably stupid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you know what else? I will say this too. You have to also stop and think, what's going on in that car ahead of me? Because you never know. It might not be some asshole who doesn't know how to drive. It might be some asshole whose wife is sitting next to him going, slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
And if I don't, then when I get home, I'm never getting laid. So I'm slowing the fuck down. And I don't care what you're doing behind me. Flip me off all you want, asshole. I'm good with it. Thanks anyway. Your life has nothing to do with mine. And I know how to keep my wife happy. So
it's just so weird. Like, you know, going up the hill, I just thought when I'd get into the passing lane, people would just be flying by me. It's like, I mean, really, do you have to? I mean, you're going to slam on your brakes on the next curve. Am I right?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, anyways, I mean, if you got a sports car or something, you want to go tool around and, you know.
I do, and I do. Fun. I do love driving the mountain with my sports car. But you know, it, I mean, it is what it is. You're not alone on the mountain. If there's people there, you don't want to endanger anybody. That's just stupid.
Anyways, that made me need a beer. And boy, did I.
My last
big drinking day was your wedding. It was nothing but Coors Light, which I have to admit, I super appreciated at the time. But when it came down to the, when I got to that campsite, I just thought, I got a cooler with nothing but Bud Light. Get the fuck out of my way.
Well, I got a thing. I got a, things that make me need a beer, actually.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. And it kind of goes along with the wedding thing, but,
there's a tear in my beer, 'cause I'm crying for you, dear. You are on my lonely mind.
actually something that makes my wife need a beer. But the story was awesome, so I just thought I'd bring it forward. It's not quite a... It's not a long one. It's pretty simple. It's basically what makes me need a beer is stupid corporate policies.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is every corporation has their dumbass policies and on like certain situations, and most of them make no fucking sense whatsoever. Like they're a lot of times they're like, this makes sense on paper, but practical application, no fucking sense.
Yeah.
This one makes no fucking sense no matter what the situation is.
Okay.
So we just got married, as we talked about, and people have been sending us gifts from our registry.
Is she taking your name?
She is. Yeah. Yeah. What? What? Was there an option? I don't know. No, yeah, she is.
Good.
So.
I'm glad she is and not, because that would have been a weird moment. She's like, no, yeah, she told me no. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
She told me my last name.
Maybe we should do a podcast about knitting instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she did decide to keep her last name, though. She's not hyphenating. She decided to keep her last name as her middle
that's
name.
That's what my wife did.
Yeah. Maybe that's where she got it from. I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, I thought it was a good idea. I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. I like it.
Welcome to things that Nate and Sean can talk about after the podcast.
Weddings and crying and whatever. Anyway, so people are sending us gifts. Well, one of the gifts that somebody sent us, we open it up, and it's a bunch of cool shit. And it's got they send a packing slip inside the package so that you know who it came from, so that you can send your thank yous out to people appropriately. Well, this package is from, like, I don't know, fucking Idaho or something, and it's where the location of the package was supposed to go. And there's all these items on the list that are not anything that is in the box. Wrong packing slip. No big deal. Some guy went, yep, throw that in there, sealed it up, fuck it, sent it off. No big deal. Shit happens, you know? Nobody's perfect. But the part that pisses me off is, so my wife is like, we're going to call these people. This is Target. So Target makes me need a beer.
Yeah.
So we decided to call Target and say, hey, the wrong packing slip is in our box. Can you tell us who sent this to us?
Yeah.
So that we can send them a thank you card. And the guy says, yes, absolutely. No problem. Just give me the number on the packing slip and we will tell you who sent it to you. And I'm thinking to myself, did she just fucking say that right now? Yeah. Like, are you fucking serious? And it's like, hold on a second. Let me hold. So if that wasn't clear to everybody, let me explain that again. You want me to give you the number of the packing slip that is not in my box to you so you can tell me who sent me the package. In which case, if I had the packing slip that had the number on it, I wouldn't need to call you because it would say who fucking sent it to me. You want me to give you that number? And the person says, yes. Yeah. Yes, that number. Our system doesn't allow us to look it up by anything else. What? Your policy for people getting the wrong packing slip is to give you the packing slip that they don't have? That's your policy? Yes, that's our policy. Can you direct me to somebody who's not a fucking moron, please? Put anybody else on the phone.
Yeah,
anybody else on the phone. I don't fucking care who you are. Put anybody else on the phone. You know, it was absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. Like, I'm sitting on the, but this is my wife on the phone, and I'm sitting on the couch just laughing my ass off. Going, are you fucking serious right now? This is real. This is really happening. So anyways, we had a, ended up having to call a different number and talk to somebody else, and they very easily gave us the right name of who sent it to us without that number. But I just couldn't believe it. So things that make me need a beer: dumbass corporate policies, Target.
Well, that seems to be the case.
Like, maybe dumbass employees. I don't know.
Oh, could be. That seems to be the case so often when you try to, like, I mean, honestly, just pay your utilities or something. You call and it's like, you've got some call reception robot who you're trying to, you know, you're just like, I just want to talk to a person, you know? I mean, kind of the way things are going, but it's true. It's like there's so much red yeah. tape to just try to get a simple answer, you know.
Why does it take me 45 minutes to get a hold of a person?
Yeah.
And all not right. on hold either, just to figure out which button to push so that it sends me to an operator.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. All right, so we got a koozie approval to do, Battle of the Beers, and we've got a pub joke of the week. Should we get into that kind of stuff? You got anything else you want to get into for this week's episode?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we got to do. We got a koozie approved, Battle of the Brew, and but I think that's it. Yeah.
All right, let's do that. Koozie approval, Battle of the Beer.
All right. So here it comes.
Hey, what do you think of this song that we've never heard before on this particular podcast? All right. So we've got Betty IPA versus Stone IPA.
Battle of the Brews.
And we're going to koozie approve both. Give them a number.
One will be drinking and the other one will be drunk. I don't think that makes sense.
All right. So should I go first as far as, or do you have a certain like way you want to approach this?
I didn't necessarily have a way I wanted to approach it. I think we should still koozie approve them.
Okay.
So we should still rate them, I guess.
Okay.
And then, I mean, that would kind of say which one you think is better, but yeah, I think you have to pick one.
Right. All right.
Because then even though high or low rating, you still have to pick a better one.
Okay. Well, I'll go first then, because it's my responsibility. I'm going to give Stone IPA, even though I'm not an IPA person, I have to kind of put that in perspective, particularly with this podcast. Like, you can't really go on personal preference. You got to go on overall merit. And so for Stone IPA, because it's one of the better IPAs I think I've ever tried, I'm going to give it a solid 8.4.
Okay.
Very
good.
That's
higher than I thought you were going to give, not going to lie.
Well, if it was like Sean's stupid scale of beer liking, it'd be a fucking one, but but so honestly, 8.4,
we'll take that.
But honestly, like, just from a beer drinker's perspective, like, as far as other IPAs I've had, and just getting over the mental wall that I have up against IPAs for no good reason really, other than it's not my personal preference, I think 8.4.
Okay. 8.4.
So having said that,
now wait, that was Stone IPA.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Stone.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Having said that, putting Stone up against Betty IPA, and I hate to do this because I really would like to, like, promote the local brewery over the big juggernaut, crazy with the demon on it. Like, I have to say, like, Betty IPA, I'm going to have to go with, like, 6.6.
6.6,
like,
huh?
Really, like, I bet you if we had tried this on its own day, like, by itself, it would have gotten a higher one.
Right.
But if you're going IPAs, like, Stone blows it out of the water. Like, as far as cleanliness in the taste,
uh-huh.
Overall, good feeling, smell, everything, color. Like, I hate to say it, maybe it's a total different style of beer, and maybe I'm just kind of ignorant of that. But if I'm have to pick between Stone and Betty IPA, like, I'd have to get Stone.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I actually have to completely agree. I like Stone IPA. I didn't know I liked it as much
until you drank the Betty IPA.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been dabbling in IPAs over the last few years, and Stone honestly is kind of a go-to. I mean, if people kind of, like I said, because it's gotten so popular, people kind of give it a bad name. But I do, after doing this, I think if you put it side by side
mm-hmm.
with an IPA, depends on what you're into. I mean, if you're into some other stuff, maybe not. But like you said, clean, refreshing, nice smell.
Really crisp.
Actually crisp. Like it, the right amount of hops without just blowing the roof off. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and kind of grapefruity with that citrus note, if you will. Like, I don't even know. Like, I hope I'm using the right words, because I don't even know if they use citrus in Stone IPA, but I'm willing to guess that they probably do.
Yeah.
And it is delicious. I'm going to give it an 8.9.
Okay.
For the Stone IPA.
Okay. Versus my 8. I said 8.4, right?
Yeah, 8.4
and 6.4. Okay.
Yeah. And honestly, as it warms up, doesn't get that much more skunky. Like, it doesn't get that
You're
much
right
more
about
weird.
That. Yeah.
It kind of stays, like, kind of stays there in that, that's still really good. The Betty IPA is, it hits you from the smell. That taste, that taste that you're, that is, like, if you like that hop, you're going to love this beer. And I want to say it's Mosaic, but I could be totally wrong, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, to Hangar 24. But, like, that, if you're into that hop, you're going to love this IPA.
Yeah.
But I personally am not that into it. It kind of smells.
It's kind of got, like, an old sock smell.
I am so against using descriptive with sentences like that. But Sean is all about it.
I mean, honestly, dude. You know,
I would not say it smells like old socks, but I will say that it smells like a very particular hop. And if you like that hop, you're going to love this beer. And I wish that I was more.
That's why you're the host.
I wish I was more refined in beer tasting, because I would be able to tell you what hop that is. But anyway, it's there. It has that smell, and there's a lot of it. So you would like that if you like that, but I personally don't. So I'm going to,
yeah, it's definitely drinkable, and it's not, I say old sock, but I'm just kind of kidding. It's got a musty smell to it. Whereas the Stone is very clean smelling. This is musty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost like the Fog at the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
You know?
Wow. It's you're really good at describing things.
But I have to say, you know, in Hangar 24's defense, like, it's still really drinkable. I think putting up against this was weird, because it's probably two different, really different styles. But
IPA for IPA, so, you know, fuck yeah. I mean, but it definitely, the Betty IPA definitely changes a lot with warmth. Like, it's, although it still smells pretty similar, the warmer it gets, it's, to me, it's a drink it while it's cold kind of beer.
Yeah,
and it's not by any means bad. I want to throw that out there. I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's delicious. But I'm gonna have to give it like an 8.4.
Wow, you're in the eights.
8.4.
I feel kind of bad about my 6.4, but compared to the Stone, I just felt a significant difference. Yeah. You know.
Well, like I said, I like IPAs. So yeah. I mean, in terms of IPAs. It's, to me, it's good. I like it. But again, it's, when you put them side by side, you know, the first thing I do is smell them. And by smell alone, I think the Stone blows this out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then flavor profile, the Betty is, it's good. But it's that hop. There's a hop that they use that I'm not a fan of, apparently. So yeah. Battle of the Brews.
Stone comes out on top.
Stone takes down the Betty. I'm sorry to Booze and Betty. This wasn't your beer. But it has your name on it. So I'm going to hold it against you.
Well, we love to foster good working relationships here on the Better Beer Club podcast. Time for the pub joke of the week. Ready for it?
Yes.
All right, here we go. There's a guy sitting at a bar, just looking at his drink. He stays like that for half an hour. Soon a big troublemaking truck driver steps next to him, takes a drink from the guy, and just drinks it all down. The poor man starts crying. The truck driver says, "Come on, man, I was just joking. Here, I'll buy you another drink. I just can't stand to see a man crying." He said, "No, it's not that. This day is the worst of my life. First, I fall asleep, and I'm late to the office. My boss, in an outrage, fires me. When I leave the building to my car, I found out it was stolen. Then the police say they can do nothing. I get a cab to return home, and when I leave it, I remember I left my wallet and credit cards there. The cab driver just drives away. I go home, and when I get there, I find my wife in bed with the gardener, and I leave and come to this bar. And when I was thinking about putting an end to my life, you show up and drink my poison."
Wow. Oh, that's a pretty good one, actually.
Yeah, that's the best we could do for this week.
I like it.
Anyways, thanks to Byron. Check out Ear Fools. Check out the Southerners band page. Appreciate him calling in. Be sure to leave your drunk stories for a chance to win that brew kit. And leave a comment. You know, really just one person needs to leave a comment.
Leave a comment, guys. I mean, get on the betterbeerclub.com. We're here for you. If you're an alcoholic and you like to drink,
but you don't go to meetings,
drink. What? This is the best meeting you could ever have. You know? 40 minutes of our dumbasses talking back and forth while you, side by side a couple IPAs. Why not?
Cool. So get on there, leave a comment. I don't think people realize it's really going to come down to who's the first to leave a comment.
You know what? And it's really important to us who you don't know. So do it for us.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode, episode 13, which did not go down in a ball of flames. Thank God. I mean, we thought about doing what they do with elevators and skipping, you know, 12 to 4 straight to 14, but I'm glad we didn't.
All right, guys. Cheers to better beer. Come back next week.